Bloom versus Holder. Mr. Zhang?
Yes, good morning, Your Honor. My name is Yongbin Zhang. I represent Mr. Darren Chulan, petitioner in this case. This is an immigration case where petitioner petitions this court to review a BIA decision affirming IJ's denial asylum application, withholding removal application, on the ground that a petitioner has not met his burden of proof. Actually, I would like to, through this case, to discuss with the court about the Real ID Act, because this case was governed by Real ID Act, was adjudicated under the Real ID Act. Particularly, I would like to discuss the issue of notice under the Real ID Act. There is a case under the Seventh Circuit. I believe that's Rafael versus Holder. In that case, this court suggests that under the Real ID Act, there should be no notice to asylum seekers for corroboration. we believe in this case, the factual background is distinguished from Rafael case. In that case, Rafael was found by the IJ, her testimony not credible, and there was no corroboration to any extent in that case. But here we have a petitioner who presented some credible testimony with some corroboration of documents which this particular petitioner believed was sufficient under the Real ID Act. And then after a full-blown evidentiary hearing, the IJ issued a written decision, deny the application, and it was in the denial decision, the first time petitioner realized that he would have submitted some corroboration. So
is that why your client didn't initially submit the material to the immigration court?
He did submit some corroboration, and he reasonably believed before the evidentiary hearing those evidence combined with his testimony should have met his burden of proof. And if you go over the transcript, petitioner did present a credible, consistent testimony regarding what happened back in Mongolia. And to support his application, he submitted a lengthy statement regarding what happened back in Mongolia. So under such circumstances, if we extend Rappo's ruling to this particular petitioner, I believe it is unfair for him. Because according to the language of the Real ID Act, it says
Before you go into that, though, he filed a motion for remand to the BIA.
Yes.
And he had more material to support and corroborate him. And so I'm just trying to make sure I understand the reason he did not submit it originally to the immigration court.
Well, that motion to remand, for these asylum seekers, they, once their case is denied, they always have a, kind of instant reaction, whether they can submit more evidence to support their case. And that's under that circumstances, he contacted relatives back in Mongolia, and he was able to obtain some documents, not all of it.
Were those documents he submitted on remand, were they unavailable to him when he first went before the IJ?
I believe some piece was unavailable according to his statement supporting the motion to remand. At the time of the hearing, there was a government restriction in Mongolia where he could not obtain those documents, particularly, I believe, a newspaper article regarding the incident. That's his explanation. So let me back to that the Real ID Act issue. According to the statute, where the statute states where the trier of fact, which is IJ here, determines that the applicant should provide evidence that corroborates otherwise credible testimony, such evidence must be provided unless the applicant does not have evidence and cannot reasonably obtain the evidence. What happened in this case is there was a master hearing before the IJ, and at the master hearing, a petitioner was notified by the IJ that your application is governed by the Real ID, so you have to do the cooperation. And then there's a evidentiary hearing, nearly 3 hours, at which time respondent testified. Before the individual hearing or the evidentiary hearing, petitioner did submit cooperation documents, such as the employment certificate, a medical record, and internet article regarding the death of his supervisor. And then there was a hearing. And then after the hearing, the IJ closed the record and decided to issue a decision. A couple months later, the decision was issued. And it was in the IJ's decision, the IJ pointed out several issues regarding the credibility, and then that discussion led to the IJ conclude that petitioner should have provided corroboration or additional corroboration documents. And by doing so, the IJ did not give respondent or petitioner an opportunity to explain why at the time of the hearing the petitioner could not obtain those particular documents the IJ was seeking, or IJ explained in her decision. So I believe that petitioner should be given an opportunity under the circumstances, particularly, you know, he presented a credible testimony, and he did provide some documents, and those documents are relevant to his claim. And this, in her decision, the IJ also talked about some credibility issues regarding petitioner's application, particularly his failure to apply asylum in the third country like Switzerland and Russia. And I believe the evidence in the record supports petitioner's reasonable explanation. He testified that he intended to apply application in Switzerland, but something happened to his father. That's why he returned back to Mongolia. And for the Russia, he testified that, you know, due to the, you know, friendly relationship between Russia and Mongolia, he believed, you know, once he applied the asylum application in Russia, he may be deported back to Mongolia. I think these explanations are reasonable. And I see my light is on.
All right. Would you like to save some time
yes,
for rebuttal,
yes.
Mr. Zhang? All
Thank
right.
You.
Thank you. Mr. Nelson.
Good morning. May it please the court, Aaron Nelson for the respondent. I'd like to just follow where petitioner's counsel left off, in that he indicated that petitioner did submit evidence in support of his asylum claim. But we would say that based on the corroboration rule and the Real ID Act codified at 1158 Section B, he had to present not only a credible case, but a persuasive case. And with regard to the evidence that he presented, it was cause for concern for the immigration judge such that she demanded corroboration. Now, counselor has identified what the agency identified, some of what the agency identified, including the fact that after the incidents of alleged mistreatment, he went to Switzerland and spent nine months there, but didn't apply for asylum there, then returned to Mongolia, experienced more mistreatment, then went to Russia, and then returned to Mongolia. And petitioner's counsel articulated the reason that he didn't apply for asylum at those two instances. These were two examples that the immigration judge cited in her need for corroboration. Another example was the stabbing that he suffered while in the United States. He claimed on the stand and in his personal statement attached to his asylum application that he was stabbed in Illinois and that he was certain that the perpetrator had been sent from Mongolia with the same by the same folks who mistreated him when he was in Mongolia. But the local police report that is part of the record doesn't support that explanation whatsoever. In fact, it says that a small group of Mongolian individuals were drinking heavily and they got into an argument about the respective immigration statuses, and one person stabbed petitioner. There's no indication in that report that there was an international aspect to this or that he was being chased.
Any inconsistencies that the IJ identified, did the IJ question him regarding these inconsistencies during the merits hearing?
I'm not certain that she did point by point.
Because doesn't the case law require that an opportunity be given to explain inconsistencies?
Well, if we were dealing with a per se adverse credibility decision, then, Your Honor, that would be correct. However, despite the litigation history here that we have here where petitioner argues against an adverse credibility decision, there wasn't an adverse credibility
decision.
Right.
In fact, the IJ found the petitioner was essentially credible.
Essentially credible.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that the agency credited his testimony with meeting his burden of proof. And that's why it triggered, for the agency, it triggered a demand for corroborating evidence.
And didn't he provide some corroborating evidence to the IJ?
Well, his case in chief at the merits hearing, in addition to his claim that the stabbing in the United States was motivated by the people who were mistreating him in Mongolia, he also submitted poorly translated medical records that were not authenticated, and he also made a claim that when he reported the illegal importation of arms via rail to the Russian director, Mr. Magday, that Mr. Magday, as a consequence, was murdered because of this. But his own evidence that he submitted, including the report surrounding the Russian director's death, doesn't suggest that he was murdered. It says that he was on a fishing trip with a friend, and that they were at a moderate level of intoxication, and they were cold, and they had a heater on, and he died of carbon monoxide poisoning. So all of these things could have rendered an adverse credibility decision. It didn't, but it did raise enough questions in the trier of fact's mind that she wanted corroboration.
Let me ask you this. The evidence he submitted with his motion for remand to the BIA, wasn't it responsive to the IJ's gaps that she identified in his testimony? Go ahead.
I believe it was an attempt to respond to the IJ's concerns, But therein, it doesn't meet the regulation for a motion to remand and the submission of new evidence. In fact, it's as if the immigration judge said, I have problems with your case for these reasons. And she rendered her decision, and thereafter, petitioner decided to go try to find that kind of evidence.
Which had he provided that before, would have corroborated his position, right?
My opinion, in my read of that evidence, that secondary batch, it would not have corroborated it. I think there are problems with that evidence, but that's sort of not where we are. The board simply didn't agree to the motion to remand because he didn't show that it was previously unavailable, because the source of that evidence had been largely his family members, with whom he had had contact up to, before and during and after his merits hearing, because the evidence that he did submit ostensibly came from siblings and others. So he couldn't meet the standard for a motion to remand.
And then, as you pointed out, the Real ID Act kind of changed things in that that credibility finding now needs, or the IJ can ask for corroborating evidence.
Even for an individual who's found credible.
Are there what in your mind are the limits on an IJ's discretion to require corroborating evidence?
That's not an easy question to answer. I think that naturally where a story doesn't hold together, where there are sort of bare biographical facts, but the meat of a claim is not internally consistent, an immigration judge is given great deference and leeway to ask for something more. I would just sort of sum up in contrast to petitioner's counsel, citation of Rafael and a line of cases after that, this court has pretty clearly said that the immigration judge doesn't have to overtly say that they are on notice for corroboration. And as Your Honor, we just discussed, even a otherwise credible applicant can be demanded of corroboration. So for all these reasons, we think that the agency decision should stand and the petition should be denied. Any questions? I'll be happy to take them. Otherwise.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Mr. Zhang, how much time? 1 minute, Mr. Zhang.
Your Honor, I just want to kind of introduce the procedure before the immigration court under the Real ID Act, after Real ID Act. For some judges, at the master hearing, they would remind the applicants that this application is covered the Real ID Act, and that means corroboration, that's it. But for some other judges, they would go one step further. They will say, because this is a religious claim or this is a political opinion claim, I would like this kind of particular documents to support your claim. For this particular case, I believe the IJ just gave a general notice, say this is Real ID Act, and then we had a full hearing, and then the decision was issued. Before the decision was issued, my client was never gave the opportunity to explain why, those documents IJ particular sought was not available. So for these reasons, we seek this court overturn BIA's decision.
Thank you, Mr. Zhang.
Thank you.
Thank you, both counsel, for your arguments, your fine arguments, and Mr. Nelson, safe travels back.
I was called to Washington, but
no.